Welcome to the Transformation Church podcast, where we're leading people into a transforming relationship with Jesus. We hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you a fresh perspective on God and His Word so you can see transformation in your own life. Enjoy the message.
What's up, TC fam? Come on, you could do better than that 11 a.m. What's up, TC fam? Hey, so glad you're here today. And if you're watching online, hey, welcome, TC Online. We're so glad you're here. But hey, listen, I got a question today. I got a question. How many people in this room have sustained an injury playing sports? You can lift the hands. You can lift your hands. Yeah, man, that's a lot of people. I think any sport you play, there's like, it's inevitable that you're probably going to like sprain an ankle, or you're going to fall down, maybe get hurt, scuff your elbow, whatever. I mean, unless you're like playing ping pong or maybe curling, you know, the one in the Olympics. Y'all thought I was doing an MC Hammer dance. I was just curling, man. So I love watching curling during the Olympics, by the way. But I think it's almost inevitable that you get injured. I actually played three different sports when I was in high school. I was a weightlifter. You can't tell now. You got to keep it moving to keep it growing. Come on. Number two, I played varsity football all 4 years of my high school experience. Played offensive line. And then number three, for a whopping 3 weeks, I wrestled. I was on the wrestling team I just give all glory to God for my career in wrestling. All 3 weeks of it. And I never actually got to wrestle in a match. That's the funny part. Because the first 2 weeks was conditioning. Everybody loves conditioning. And then also we started learning like the single leg takedown and the double leg takedown and all these cool moves, right? And I was like going home, showing my friends, man, watch my new takedown, right? And I'd take them down. They're like, dude, that hurt. Why'd you do that? But the third week is when the rubber met the road, or the rubber met the mat. It just depends on how you look at it. But I started sparring my third week, which is like live wrestling, right? And it was me and one other heavyweight, and his name was Jordan Briggs. If you're watching, Jordan, don't be mad at me when I tell this story. But Jordan was about 5'10", 350 pounds. He was like Jordan, you know what I mean? Like he wasn't doing the Air Jordan. This was Jordan, right? My dude played center for us on a football team. And it's crazy because like my JV football coach, I played JV for a few weeks. I moved up to varsity when I was a freshman. But the coach was like, hey, welcome to JV football. By the way, you should wrestle. He was also the wrestling coach. And he was telling us of all like the attributes that you get through wrestling for football, whatever. But we go into live sparring, first day. Dude, I'm terrified because the only person I have to spar is Jordan. You know what I mean? Big J, my dog, right? And so he's like, all right, everybody get with your partner. And I got with my partner and I was like, all right, here we go. And he's like, blew the whistle. And I was like, okay, do the thing where you like slap him in the leg, you know what I mean? And man, like within 15 seconds, he had me in a head and arm. Anybody know what a head and arm is? It's where your like ear touches your bicep. He put me in a head and arm, and he fell down on my left shoulder, all 350 pounds of him on me, and I heard, pow! That was the end of my wrestling career. That was the end right there. And I went to the doctor the next day because there was a pop, man. It sounded like a firecracker went off on my shoulder. And I went to the doctor, and the doctor referred me to an orthopedic, and the orthopedic did all these scans and tests and x-rays and all this. And he's like, hey, I got good news. You got two different options from this point, two different treatments. Number one, you can choose to let it naturally heal. But there's a chance that when you get older, you're going to feel it, right? Or number two, we can deal with it right now. We can put you in surgery, do a little bit of repair to some of the tendons and stuff that are in there, and you'll be out for 8 to 10 weeks, which means that I would miss spring football training. So I did, of course, what the wisest decision was. And I let it heal because I was going to go play football. I went, this, you know, football spring training, you're crazy. So I walk into football practice. I got like a bandage on my shoulder. They're like, Mike, you good? I'm like, man, shut up. Let's go. Let's play football, right? I was still pretty hurt about it. And I was hurt, man. I was hurt. And now, fast forward 20 years, here I am. And man, when it gets cold outside, it's like, creaky door, man, creaky door. And man, if I try to like do a push-up, which I mean, I could do like seven of them, you know what I mean? Like when I try to do a push-up, one, two, when I get to three, four, my Lord, five, Holy Spirit, six. And then I'm like, so I'm down, boom, Black Hawk down, right? I hit my face, man. Because that shoulder, man, I can't put a bunch of weight on my shoulder. Because in that moment, I chose the fast track so I could stay involved with football. And now 20 years later, I deal with the side effects of an injury that I didn't deal with in the present. And I think if I were to poll everybody in this room, that this might tell a little bit of your story today. It might tell a little bit of your story that maybe sometime in your life you went through some hurt or you were injured by someone or something. And instead of Matthew 18 dealing with it in that moment, you just let it ride. You're like, nah, that thing will heal with time. I'll be fine. But then you walk through life every single day and you feel the implications of not dealing with something that happened in your past, maybe 20 plus years ago. And how often do we let somebody hurting us or something that's happened to us hurt us to the point where we avoid the discomfort and the inconvenience of dealing with it, yet we live with it in our present life? You know, we let our past dictate our present and then ultimately diminish the effectiveness of our future because we didn't deal with that thing. Maybe it wasn't a hurt shoulder for you. Maybe it was a broken relationship. Maybe it wasn't a hurt shoulder. Maybe it was a loss of a business for you. Maybe your spouse cheated on you. Maybe somebody got a promotion that had only been at the company a tenth of the time you've been there and you carry the bitterness of that in your heart. Maybe you are an addict and you did some time in jail and you hold that against yourself. But the truth of the matter is that if we let our past dictate our present, it'll diminish the effectivity of our future. And so today I want to continue this Unstuck series with the idea and a message that I'm calling Unstuck for Our Future. Unstuck for our future. If we've not had the privilege of meeting, my name's Mike. I'm the executive pastor here at TC. And I know James said it earlier, if it's your first time, welcome home, man. Welcome home. If you've been coming for a little bit, kicking the tires of our church, just thank you so much for coming and being a part of our family. And today it's my desire that we peel back a passage of scripture and this Unstuck series and we all get a little bit better. Are you okay with that? Yes. Get a little more unstuck and the way that we live our lives. And over the past couple of weeks, we've been getting unstuck in the areas of our faith, getting unstuck in the areas of our finances, unstuck in the areas of our relationships. And we're getting unstuck. We got another week of unstuck after this. And I don't know about you, but I feel better now than I was 5 weeks ago. But I think that God always has more. There's always more for us to step into. And I think today that my goal and what the Lord's goal is through this message is that we would become more unstuck in order to see the fullness of our future and the future that God has set before us individually in this place. So if you brought your Bibles, whether it's digital or it's paper, whatever your choice is, I want you to turn to Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 17. And here we're going to find a story about 10 people who were in way worse condition than you and I promise. Like you may say, but Pastor Mike, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what my past looks like. You don't know the struggle. Trust me, these 10 people are in a bad, bad spot. And we're gonna talk about it in just a moment. But before we hop into the scriptures, I've got a couple of like inflectional questions that I want you to think through as I walk through this today. A couple of like intrinsic assessments that I want you to do as we walk through this scripture today. And the first question I want you to ask yourself is, what areas of my life today look the way they do because of my yesterday? What areas of my life today look the way they do because of my yesterday? And the second one is this, what part of my present is a direct representation of my past? What part of my day-to-day life right now is a direct representation or result of my past? And maybe today you came to church and you were expecting worship, which worship was amazing and a great transition and the giving talk. And you're like, okay, then we're going to have a sermon. But today I don't want us to look at this like a nice sermon. I want us to look at this as a group session. I want to do some group therapy together today. Is that okay? Is that all right? We're a pro-counseling, pro-therapy church, and I really believe that God wants to walk us through some things today so that we can grow. And you know why? Because I would dare to say that the majority of the things in your life that you dislike about yourself or your circumstance are most likely a direct result of either decisions or experiences that you have made or encountered that have happened in your past. For example, I am about 50 pounds overweight. Surprise! You know why? Because I love fried chicken. Come on. I love fried chicken. But who decided to take the chicken and put it in that egg wash and slide it through that flour and hit it in the egg wash one more again? Come on. And slide it through that flour one more again and drop it in that 575 degree oil. The oil. I'm not talking about the oil today. Chill out. And then we deep fry that bad boy, and you take that first crispy, crunchy chicken bite with your teeth. Woo! Hallelujah. I've made that decision plenty of times, if you can't tell. And if you can't tell, I live with it. I live with ankle pain because I'm overweight. And maybe you decided to walk out on a relationship and you live with it. And maybe you decided to to step back into an addictive personality or an addictive cycle in your life, and man, you're living with it today. I believe today that we don't have to live with it anymore, and that we can be free from whatever that thing is. Because here's the deal, your past has two functions. It depends on how you choose. The first function is it can paralyze you. Your past can paralyze you. It can take you down and hold you down. Your past won't stop until it kills you. But the second function of your past is it can propel you. It can push you forward to better decision-making. It can push you forward to healthier relationships. It can push you out of cycles that are trying to kill you to give you what? What did Jesus say? Life, yet life abundant. And so today I want us to look at the two functions of our past. And as we look through this scripture and through this story, I want God to walk every one of us through our past so that it can propel us and no longer paralyze us. So I want to go into a little bit of context about the scripture. And in Luke 17, we see Jesus taking a stroll on the way to Jerusalem. And he's going along, and he had just got done ministering in the Pharisee's house and making his way along in between Samaria and Galilee. And on his journey, from afar, he heard 10 people say, "Jesus, have mercy on us," from afar. And he looks over, and he sees 10 lepers. Lepers, if you don't know what a leper is, it's not that little cat that runs around in Africa. That's a lemur. And a leper, I didn't put a D on the end, so it's not the real fast cat that catches you if you're like running from it. A leper is somebody who has leprosy. Leprosy, back in the day, was a disease that carried an imminent death sentence. They didn't have modern technology and things like we have now. There's all kinds of vaccines and stuff as children we get that prevent us from getting leprosy. But leprosy starts with a sore. Like, imagine you have like a sweat rash or a mosquito bite. You know, our state bird, the mosquito, when he bites you. A mosquito bite. And it's bleeding and it hurts and it itches. But leprosy continues to spread to more and more sores, to more and more open wounds. It begins to eat away at your flesh. And it begins to eat away, once it gets past your skin, it begins to eat away at your muscles. And then it begins to eat away at your nervous system. And by the time leprosy has run its course, before it kills you, it leaves you in what Americans would call a zombie-like state, where you can barely function day to day. It takes everything you have. You're bleeding nonstop. It takes everything you have to get up out of the bed and to step into what the day holds for you. And these lepers, they'd be taken outside of the tribe, outside of the village, because they were viewed as unclean. Because they were trying to stop the spread of leprosy that was wiping out whole villages. So if you had a sore, they're like, "Yo, you need to go camp on the outside of the village for 7 days. And if a white hair begins to grow out of your sore, you have leprosy. If it begins to spread, you can't come back." Imagine the rejection. But Jesus, walking to Jerusalem, 10 of these lepers from afar said, "Jesus." And that's where we find ourselves in the text today. Let's read. It says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. and they stood at a distance. Remember, they had to stay away from society. And called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Another translation says, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, remember that statement, and as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, one of the ten, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice and threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, were not all ten cleansed? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. And this is where we're going to be today. It's a unique turn of events that we see. Jesus is in journey to Jerusalem, and he's stopped by these 10 lepers who, out of desperation, are calling out. And from a distance, they begin to beg Jesus for mercy, beg Jesus for cleansing, beg Jesus for healing. And in that moment, he makes a request that you don't see him make often. Actually, I don't think he makes it again in his public ministry. And he says, hey, I see you over there. I see your desperation. Go show yourselves to the priest. Go show yourselves to the priest. But the most powerful part is those three words, as they went. As they went, God cleansed them. This shows us something. No matter how much havoc leprosy had wreaked on them, no matter how much they were deformed and weak, no matter how unclean and how long they had been unclean was, they needed to be cleansed from their past of leprosy. They needed to be cleansed. They were desperate to be cleansed from the past of leprosy, a past of turmoil, a past of pain, a past of brokenness, a past of rejection. They needed to be cleansed. And guess what, friend? This applies to us today. We must be cleansed from our past. Cleansed from our past. Just like the lepers, we have a past and it has left an evident mark on you and I. You see, many of us walk through the present being polluted by our past and we've normalized it every single day. That hurt and that wound flares up and we lash out and we hurt people and we say things we don't mean and we just keep walking through life like nothing is happening behind the scenes when really our past is raging behind us. And we keep trying to split the ladder of our future and our past, and we get to a point where we're stuck and we're frustrated and our past is polluting our present day freedom and we don't have the ability to get beyond it, and we don't see relief inside. It becomes like leprosy to us mentally, leprosy to us physically, leprosy to us emotionally. It begins to deteriorate and wear away at us with no relief to be found. Our past. But aren't you thankful Jesus made a way that we would be cleansed from our past? He made a way that we would be cleansed from our past. You see, they came to Jesus from afar and they said, hey, Jesus, have mercy on us. And the most important thing happened right after that. He said, go to the priest and show himself. And as they went, they were cleansed. It's one thing to get Jesus' attention. It's another thing to do what he says. It's one thing to say, I need cleansing. And then Jesus turns his head and says, go to the priest. And just, he didn't say, go to the priest and you'll be cleansed. He didn't even make a promise of that. He said, go show yourself to your priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Yeah, they could have objected. They could have said, Jesus, listen. We traveled all this way on our stubby, bloody feet to see this Son of God. You are the Son of God, aren't you? This is Luke 17. He had already healed multiple people leading up to this, and word was traveling fast, so fast that 10 lepers found him from afar. They could have stopped and said, hey, Jesus, but we want you to pray for us. We don't want to go back to the priest. We want you to pray for us. Hey, pastor, you have to pray for me to get my healing. Church leader, you have to pray for me to get my, we put Jesus in a box as if it has to come by way of a title in order for us to experience and encounter true freedom. And these people didn't say, no, Jesus, but we want you to pray for us because you have special powers. And he was special. He was 100% God and 100% man, but he also had a plan by telling them, go to your priest. And instead of objecting,
They obeyed. When we freely call on the name of Jesus and we don't respond to him, we'll stay stuck. But if when we call on the name of Jesus and he gives instructions and we obey, we will be free. On the other side of our obedience, we find cleansing. On the other side of our yes, we find breakthrough. On the other side of our hard decision to change the course of where we've been going, we find God's faithfulness. God's forgiveness and his cleansing is fully complete. But we also have to forgive ourselves. Being cleansed and being forgiven of our sins, of our iniquities and all that stuff, it's one thing, but it's another thing to actually forgive ourselves. And the process of looking at our past and the process of looking at what we've gone through, looking at our ailments, we have to say, you know what? I'm gonna forgive myself. And then here's the hard one. We gotta forgive others. Just a side note here, how selfish is it for us to fully accept the forgiveness that Jesus bought for us on the cross, but not forgive our neighbor? Lord, I need your forgiveness. Save me. I need salvation. But I'm not going to forgive that person who broke up with me. But I'm not going to forgive that guy who left me. I'm not going to forgive the business partner who stole all that money. But I need you to forgive my thing. I'll worry about their thing. You forgive my. How selfish is it for us to request from Jesus cleansing when we're not willing to clean the record with other people? We got to make the decision to obey when he says yes and go. But here's the crazy part. Yes, it's a choice to follow Jesus and to be made whole and be made cleansed. But the next thing we see in verse 15 is crazy to me. It's crazy to me. Notice only one of the 10 came back to Jesus. So what that means is that 9 of the 10 lepers received their cleansing from the disease, but then they went on their merry way in life. They went back to their families. Oh, I miss you so much. And they're probably dealing with the rejection of being kicked out of the tribe in the first place. And they're struggling. They still have all the physical deformities. They still have all the physical implications of the disease they've been cleansed from. But one found it responsible. One found it necessary to go back to the feet of Jesus and fall at the feet of Jesus and say, I worship you and I thank you, Jesus, for cleansing me of my dirt, cleansing me of my disease. Another thing to give thanks, which leads us to another response. Not only do we must be cleansed by the Lord, but we must be thankful. We got to give thanks in our present. Cleansed from our past, but thankful for our present. It's one thing for us to receive a clean start, but to not respond in thanksgiving. You see, 9 lepers just kept on going, and their faith had unlocked their cleansing. But their inability to come fall at the feet of Jesus left so much on the table. Left so much on the table. And you and I, we've been cleansed from our past, whether or not you've accepted that today. At the end of service, we're going to have an opportunity for you to choose to say, Jesus, I need to be cleansed from my past. Come into my life as my Lord and Savior. We're going to talk about that at the end, but we accept this cleansing, but how often do we just give him a simple thank you? When's the last time you literally sat at the feet of Jesus and said, thank you? If you died on the cross and did nothing more, you did plenty. If you chose to not give me another breath past the one I give you now, you've done plenty. Thank you for putting a call on my life. Like thank you for giving me purpose. So I'm not marching around the world like a zombie with no end. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me and healing made this covered, this handled. No, man. Let's be content and have gratitude for what he's done. And settle in that moment. The leper sat at his feet and said, thank you so much. I give glory to God for cleansing me. One of the 10 decided the simple gratitude. And you know why we're grateful? We're grateful because he's faithful. We're grateful because he's faithful. No matter what we walk through, No matter what situations we've overcome, no matter how dirty and ugly our past was, he's still faithful. He's still faithful. And maybe that's you today. Maybe even right now you feel conviction that you maybe have not told the Lord thank you enough for what he's done. I'm just going to be honest with you. You wouldn't be in the room today if God had not done what he's done for you. Many of us would have died. I thank God every day that in 2007, I got hit head on by a drunk driver in Daytona Beach, Florida. I thank God that I didn't die. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have Ben and Marshall, my beautiful wife, Christina. And I wouldn't have a call on my life. And I wouldn't have been able to see so many people experience the power of Jesus. I wouldn't have wrestled with my call to ministry and then finally said, yes, I guess. And stepped into it fully. I wouldn't have been able to watch so many of you take steps towards your calling and your purpose and your destiny had I not been here and had God not kept me. So we got to say thank you. Got to get regular in telling God thank you for the little things. And you see his response of gratitude in verse 15 and 16 unlocked something for him that was not unlocked for the other nine. It opened the door for something for him that was not given to the other nine who just wanted to get back to normal living. Cleansed from their past disease, but continuing to walk around broken physically, carrying rejection, carrying spite, bitterness, anger. Though physically in their body, they weren't deteriorating more, they were emotionally and spiritually. So we look in verse 17, it says, Jesus asks, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, arise and go. Your faith has made you well. When the others got cleansed and they went on about their lives, the other nine just decided to go on about their lives, but the 10th leper chose to give glory, honor, and praise to God, and it paid off. And because he was thankful, Jesus not only granted him the cleansing of from his disease and his past, but he also made him well. The scripture says well. And this is just a little tiny teaching moment. We have got to stop surface level reading the Bible. Because surface level reading leads to surface level revelation. Because we could just read through that scripture and said, your faith has made you well. Like, and say, oh, that's cool, man. Your faith has made you well. Awesome. But if you look at that word well and you zoom in a little bit, it's the word sozo. Sozo in the original text. What does sozo even mean? Check this out. To make whole. To save a suffering one from perishing, i.e. one suffering from disease, to make well, to heal, and to restore to health. Being well means that you no longer have a disease, but being sozo means you don't have the disease or the side effects. You're restored back to full health. See, the nine were too busy to go back to the normal life, but the one said, hey, I want to be fully restored back to wholeness. And he was, because he was faithful and he was grateful. He made him whole. No signs of physical or mental decay. No signs of muscular or nervous system breakdown and inefficiency. No more sores, no more bleeding, no more wounds. The leper was fully restored for his future despite his past. And this is God's desire for you and I today. This is God's desire for you and I today. Because we approach him. We approach him tore up. Can we be honest for a minute? And like take off our, you know, unbutton our top button and take off the mask that we're at church because we have it all together. Can we do that for a moment? And just admit that without God's intervention, I'm a mess. Bible says I'm filthy rags. I think that's being pretty nice to me because I know my past. Without him, we're nothing. And he says, first, let's go ahead and clean. Let's take filthy rags and apply red blood and turn it into white as snow. Let's make you clean. Get in the repetition of saying, thank you, God. Thank you so much for making me clean. But the memories are still there. The scars from my past are still there. Just because you get saved doesn't mean you're sanctified immediately. Just because you get saved doesn't mean all that stuff just goes away, and disappears. No, it's still there. The next stage is we have to be made whole. We have to be made whole. We can't stop at just cleansing and thanksgiving. We've got to be made whole. And not just for the sake of being made whole, but we must be made whole for our future. This isn't a partial restoration. This is nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. This is us taking our inefficient, unfull, unsufficed self and trading it in for wholeness and fullness in the presence of God. And saying, Father, if you see it fit to redeem me from the weight of my past and my sin, do you see it fit that I be made whole for my future? And he does, because he does it here for the leper. But so often we fall for the trick, like our past is just gonna dissolve. We fall for this menial idea that, man, like once I give my life to Jesus, everything's just gonna be fixed. And I'll come in and I'll just give him, you know, my 75 minutes of church every single week. And then I'll leave and go back to my life. And, you know, my past is forgiven. So I'm not going to deal with that anymore. And we leave the third part on the table, which is being made whole. We cannot walk in the fullness of our future if we live paralyzed to our past. Whether or not it's been cleansed or not, it's still there until we're made whole. All the wrongs made right. All the sorrows turned to joy. All the memories that haunt you when you close your eyes, handed over to the feet of Jesus and saying, Father, I don't accept those anymore. Jesus is, he's extending an invitation to you and I today. I don't want to be cleansed from our past, but to be made whole for our future. It's time for us to say bye to the past. It's still there. And we can remember it, but we don't have to reside with it. We can remember that it's there, but we don't have to live there. Because we have to step out of our history in order to step into our destiny. God has not called you to live, pay bills, and die. He's called you to be effective. And in a culture full of people who just want to be influencers, I choose to be effective. But what am I effective in? Do I want to be effective with a destiny showing my children and their children what it looks like to part ways with your past and to walk in the security of my faith into my future? Or do I want to be effective in showing the next generation that I'm insecure because of my past? That I'm broken because of my past, and my past is still reigning heavily over my present and crippling me from stepping into my future. You see, our assignment goes far beyond us, but if we don't grasp the gravity, that if we don't part ways with our history to step into our destiny, we're gonna damage generations to come if we're not careful. God has called us to step into destiny. And you might be like, man, this is a lot of great content. This is so good. Fire hose, awesome. But I want to slow down and give us four ways to practically do this. Because it's one thing to talk through the spiritual implications through the scripture, but I want to walk through the four R's of restoration from our past. How do you become restored from your past? Made whole from your past? The first one is this. We have to recognize that we have a past. We can't fool ourselves that there's not something in the back of our lives that lives in the front of our minds. We can't fool ourselves that somebody hurting us, no, I'm good, thick skin, I'm fine. I got thick skin, until you don't, and it all comes crashing down. That's called straddling the ladder. We have to realize we all have past hurts, past brokenness. And from there, we take the next step. We repent for allowing it to hinder our present. Repentance is something we don't talk about a lot in the church anymore because it's not popular. But repentance is 180, saying, God, I walk away from my past so that I can experience my future. We say, Lord, I am sorry for the times that I have let my past define me. Father, I'm sorry for the times I've let my past bleed on other people who didn't stab me. God, I'm sorry for the times that I've let my past over supersede what you told me to do, and I've walked away objected to your obedient steps because my past won the war of my mind. We repent in this moment and say, Father, I'm sorry for allowing my past to hinder my future. But then from there, this is the one you got to put your shoulders back and have a little bit of courage. Is that we reject our past from entering our future. There comes a point in time in every man and woman's life where they have to draw the line in the sand. Listen to me. Divorce is rampant in my lineage. Multiple divorces. In my direct lineage, I think I'll be 4 or 5 generations of divorce on top of me. If I allow that into my future and I don't reject it, what happens? Divorce becomes an expectation, not an experience. Addiction is rampant through my family. Rampant. All kinds of addiction. And if I don't draw the line and say, I reject that from entering my future, then I'll never experience the fullness of my future. Some of us today, maybe this is the only thing you came to hear. It's time for you to put your foot down and square your shoulders back and have a little bit of boldness and say, on behalf of the authority vested in me in the name of Jesus Christ, I draw the line. To no longer allow my past to make its way into my future. Past, I know you're there. I know you're there. I remember you, but you're not gonna restrict me anymore to my future. I draw the line. I reject you from entering the next season of my life. I draw a seasonal line right now in the name of Jesus. Because you're greater than what you'll leave behind. You just gotta sometimes convince yourself of it. And the last thing you do is we restore by, keyword, allowing God to make us whole and make us new. The core of the flesh wants to resist God making us new. Because God making us new means that we're going to have to shed some things. We're going to have to shed some memories. We're going to have to shed some expectations. We're going to have to shed ourselves. And it's like an eagle. Systemically, an eagle has to fly to a high branch and pull its own feathers out. It's called molting. Look it up. And it's not a good process. It's painful. They got to pluck their own feathers out. And it's painful. But after they come off the branch, when their wounds have healed, they fly higher, they fly faster, and they actually have the ability to hunt better and feed better. So they're more full, they have better vision, and they move at a much higher pace of efficiency in their life. That's what we have to do. We have to choose to say, God, you're going to have to pluck some things out of me, but I choose to allow you to restore me from the inside out. Because we cannot restore what we don't first recognize. We cannot repent for what we do not accept. We cannot reject what we're afraid of. And then again, we cannot restore if we're not choosing to allow God to make us whole. And maybe you're in this place today and you think you're in the presence of a bunch of church people who don't have a big, ugly, dirty past. But you would be shocked if we had time to pass this microphone around of the number of people in this room who have done hard time in prison, who have gone through terrible situations of abuse and just unthought of and unheard of situations in their life. But it's a group of people who are choosing to be made new every day. It's a group of people who have made the decision that just because I don't look like what I went through doesn't mean that I didn't walk through what I've gone through. Right? And that can be you today. I love how Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ, belongs to Christ, has become made a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. Man, you can be a new creation today. Free of the bondage of your past. and release to the potential of your future. We just have to choose to allow God to make us whole. We have to be cleansed, we have to give thanks, and we have to be made whole. I believe, I personally believe, that today alone, God is calling everybody in this room to make a decision. Everybody. I don't care if you've been in church 75 years. That might be some of the past God's trying to deliver you from. It's the religious spirit that you've got to put together. I'm just going to say it like I feel it, right? Like what I feel like the Lord is saying. I think everybody has got to draw some sort of a line in the sand today. And maybe that line is you finally giving up and giving it all to Jesus. Like the works of our hands are so feeble when they're not placed in the works of his hands. You can go so much further, so much faster when you are with the Father. And so I want everybody in the room to just bow your heads for a moment, because I believe that there's going to be at least someone in this room who said, hey, I want to join that family today. That family in the faith. And I'd want to choose cleansing today. I want to be cleansed of all of my sins. I can tell you, you can chase a bottle, you can chase a pill, you can chase a drug, but you will never find the full cleansing that God has called you to until you surrender to Jesus. And if that's you today, there's nobody looking around. There's no eyes open. And if that's you, shoot your hand up. I just want to see your hand. I'm not going to tell anybody that you raised your hand. There you go. I see those hands. Yep. Yep. Everybody look up at me. Six people. Six people chose to join the family today. Six people. And here's the cool thing. Just like Jesus told the lepers to go see the priest, and as they went, they were cleansed, right? At the end of, so I don't have to pray some elaborate prayer and make you repeat after me today. Guess what? There's people in the prayer centers that want to pray with you. So I encourage you, make the generous and then the courageous step to say, God, thank you for cleansing me. I want somebody to pray with me today. And they're going to give you some resource, some next steps, some things to do in order to seal the deal on choosing to be cleansed by the power of God today. But there's a second group in this room today. And it's people who have allowed their past to pollute their future. Not letting go of hurt that happened decades ago, days ago, months ago. And as I was preparing and I was studying, man, I just felt the Lord. I just felt the Lord say, I just want my people free of their past so I can show them their future. But you can't see it when you're looking in the rearview mirror all the time. And so would you bow your heads one more time, everybody in the room? I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I just want to pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, the only name that brings true restoration into the lives of people. The only name that saves us from ourselves and from our past. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray right now that everyone under the sound of my voice would have the courage and the boldness to draw the line in the sand today and reject their past from entering their future. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for a fresh wind, God, a fresh call, God, a fresh breathing of your Holy Spirit on their life today, God, so that they can be released to do so much more than they could ever even ask or think or imagine today, God, that you would release out of this place people, God, who are hungry to step into a bright future because they've gotten rid of a dark past. And Father, we know the past will be there, but Father, let the memories of our past be turned into a message in our future. God, let the scars of our past turn into a testimony going forward, Father. And I pray, God, that you would embolden us, God. You would give us the courage. You would give us the strength. You would give us the power, God, to be released, God, to fullness in our future. God, cleanse us, God, as we thank you. God, cleanse us, God, from our past, but also, Father, make us whole, God. Renew us for our future, God, as we choose to draw a line in the sand today for your glory. And we thank you for this in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, would you give it up for Jesus this morning? Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. Man, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for God. I got a couple little quick things I want to share with you, then we're going to be out of here. Number one, if it was your first time and you filled out the Connect card, or if it's your first time just hanging out with us today, welcome home, man. Welcome home. We're just a bunch of hungry people who love Jesus and love one another. That's it. Now, if you've caught that yet, I hope you have. But welcome home. Make sure you don't forget to stop by the Connect Center. Take a next step with us today. Secondly, if you did raise your hand, if you're one of the six people who raised your hand, I want you to have the courage. Our kids team, if you've got kids and you raised your hand, our kids team, they're good. They're good, okay? Our teams are here to serve you. But on my right and my left, we have prayer centers. And there's going to be some people in our prayer centers here in just a moment who that literally it's their passion and their calling and their heart to help you walk through the next steps of your faith. And so I encourage you, have the boldness and the courage to step over there. Maybe today you have the courage to draw a line in the sand. You just want somebody to pray with you. Key word there is want. Like, I don't want you to go out over there out of liturgy, right? Oh, well, you told me I needed to go over there and get prayer. No, you're going to have to want prayer today. If you want prayer, take a step over there. Have somebody help you choose your next step and encourage you in your next step. Would you stand with me this morning? I just want to pray us out this morning. Don't forget Wednesday night, we got fam night. It's going to be amazing. But I just want to pray us out today before we're dismissed. Father, we thank you so much, God. Lord, that you're moving in our midst in such a powerful way, God. And I thank you, God, that today as we go, just like as the lepers went, God, as we go, God, we would feel your cleansing and restorative touch in our lives and in our bodies, God, as we leave this place today. Be with every one of us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, love you guys. See you this week.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's message, be sure to share it with your friends and tag us at TransformTLH. Thanks again for listening, and we look forward to seeing your face in the place someday. Have a great week.